Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for 21 March 2011. This is your host, Shane Killian. Let's start with news of the bogus. The big news right now is the nuclear meltdown that isn't a meltdown and the nuclear explosion that isn't nuclear at a Japanese nuclear power plant. First, the explosion. It wasn't a nuclear explosion, it was an explosion of hydrogen gas outside the containment building. The housing itself did not explode, it wasn't even damaged, and the core is completely intact. What happened is this. When the reactor overheated, a valve opened to vent off steam, which draws heat away from the reactor and cools it down. But this isn't just steam. There are contaminants in it that are the process of the nuclear reactions. One of these is zirconium. Zirconium, when it gets hot, is highly reactive with oxygen, so much that it can actually rip out the O part of a water molecule, which of course is H2O, that leaves H2, hydrogen gas, and it's this gas that exploded. Now, there is cause for concern here. This steam does contain radioactive material, and it's vented into the atmosphere. But while measurements showed the steam cloud to have elevated levels of radiation, the levels themselves were within safe limits. Evacuation was still a good precaution, since of course you can't measure every single part of the cloud and these levels are going to vary. Still, neither this explosion nor the ensuing cloud appears to be a cause of much concern. But that's not what a graphic going around the internet says. It draws a very scary region over the Pacific to the west coast, claiming that within 10 days, people from Washington to Texas, as well as parts of Canada and Alaska, will get 750 rads of radiation, enough to leave no survivors. As Snopes.com reported, this is completely false. According to radiation experts, not even a nuclear attack on Japan would give these levels in California. The reality is, not even the servicemen on the USS Ronald Reagan, an aircraft carrier near Japan at the time, got anywhere near a dangerous dose. The amount they got sounds scary. They got a month's worth of radiation in a single day. But as Phil Plait pointed out at BadAstronomy.com, the Apollo astronauts received 10 times that amount of radiation with no ill effects. Still, there may be cause for alarm. If even a tiny amount gets into the ocean, it may have a very strong homeopathic dilution by the time it gets to California. Oops, there I go giving the homeopaths ideas. Sorry about that. A nuclear reactor, like all fuel-based power plants, works by boiling water and using the steam to turn a turbine. The nuclear reactions provide the heat, so it needs a lot of cooling down, but the earthquake knocked out the primary cooling systems. No problem, just pump water into it to cool it off. But a valve malfunctioned, and two of the reactors started overheating. Not only that, but the tsunami that followed knocked out the diesel generators that kept the pumps going. There hasn't actually been a meltdown at the plant, although it's been touch and go. A meltdown is when you actually get melting of the reactor core. There's no indication that this has happened or is going to happen. The problem is that this is a very old plant, and the emergency system was to pump in water to cool off the reactors, but unfortunately when the diesel generators went out, so did the pumps. Can anyone say design flaw? Now, this won't be an issue with more recent nuclear reactors. They rely on gravity to pump the water in. Just try to turn off gravity. But workers at the Japanese plant have had to hand pump in seawater mixed with boron to cool the reactors. This will destroy them, but it should prevent a meltdown. In fact, one of the two problematic reactors has now cooled down completely, and the diesel generators have been at least partially restored, so the cooling pumps can work again. Now, many politicians and pundits are saying this proves we need to stop nuclear power plants from being built. In particular, Senator and idiot Joe Lieberman of Connecticut said that we have to, quote, quietly, quickly put the brakes on nuclear power. He also said we need to reevaluate building codes as a result. Personally, I'm more worried about all the bogons coming from Washington than I am the radioactive particles from Japan. Although thousands of people have died as a result of the earthquake and tsunami, there's only been one reported death due to the nuclear accident, and that was a plant worker, and he was killed by a crane. If you ask me, far from being proof that we need to abandon nuclear power, it clearly shows how brilliantly safe it is. Even at an older plant with fewer safety features, there still was minimal damage after one of the biggest earthquakes on record, followed by one of the biggest tsunamis in history. The truth is, we've got much more to worry about from the radiation from coal plants than nuclear plants. Even if we ignore all the problems, mining coal, the smog, the acid rain, the CO2 emissions, the fly ash emitted by a coal plant contains 100 times more radiation than a nuclear plant of the same size. Now, there's no need to panic about that either, but it does show that the radiation from nuclear plants is pretty much a non-starter as far as criticisms go. However, if we're willing to reevaluate how we approach nuclear power, maybe it's time to give thorium reactors a try. Unlike fusion, which always seems to be 20 years away, there have been functional thorium reactors since the 1960s. Thorium is cheap. They basically dig it out of the ground for free, since it comes along with rare earth metals such as neodymium when they're mined. The reactors don't melt down, it doesn't make weapons-grade materials, there's enough of it to last for the next 1,000 years, and it leaves behind hardly any pollution. Far less waste, in fact, than uranium. Do you hear the politicians advocating that? No? Gee, I wonder why. Bogosity brickbats should also be flung at members of the news media who have not only tried to blow this thing way out of proportion, but are doing such a lackluster job in informing the people they can't even get a picture of the right kind of reactor. The pictures most of them showed were of pressurized reactors, not boiling reactors. The news media fails again. In any event, the Japanese people deserve kudos for keeping their cool and not panicking during this emergency. If you'd like to help out the Japanese people during this tragic time, you can go to charitynavigator.org and select a good charity you can get behind. Now for something closer to home. A 12-year-old girl was suspended in school because, get this, she got sick. After suffering for a couple of days with a severe headache and stomach pains, Aaliyah Rowe was given, get this, a field sobriety test. And she was suspended when she failed, even though it's widely known that migraines can cause someone to fail these very unscientific tests. It's all based on the school nurse's feelings when she examined her. Her mind went straight to drugs, and she called in the police, who administered their bogus test. They then concluded that she was under the influence of something. Yes, something. They couldn't even say what drug she was supposedly taking. Within 1 hour of Aaliyah's mom picking her up from school, she was getting a real drug test at a real doctor's office. Guess what? The doctor said her symptoms were consistent with migraines. Also, urine and blood tests were negative for alcohol, marijuana, heroin, cocaine, amphetamines, barbiturates, methadone, PCP, and all sorts of other drugs. But you know what? That didn't matter to the school administrators. Melissa Tortorisi, spokeswoman and stooge for the school district, said,
"Our trained and licensed professionals are highly qualified to make the determination if someone is under the influence. They know what to look for."
Yeah, and they find it, whether it's there or not. Now, the suspension was eventually dropped after a lot of news coverage and local protests about the event, but the problem here is the attitude that government bureaucrats like Tortorisi have. Listen to this direct quote.
"Regardless of whether the drug test had come back positive or negative, the outcome would have been the same because our procedures determined that the student was under the influence of something."
In other words, who cares what licensed professional experts have to say or what the results of valid scientific tests are? The government bureaucrats are always right. All hail the cult of the omnipotent state! The sad fact is, government bureaucrats all over the country do this kind of thing all the time. It's just all too rare that it causes even a local outrage, and the national news on this has been completely silent. When the suspension was dropped, Tortorisi claimed it was because of new information, but couldn't say what this new information was. Probably because there wasn't any. All of the information the school district had on hand was the same information that had been reported in the local news. Here's hoping that very soon Tortorisi has a job sweeping floors or cleaning gutters. Anything that doesn't involve ruining the lives of children just to save face for government bureaucrats. Now for a bit of good news. The UK government is considering a defamation bill to try and fix problems with their legal system with regards to cases of libel and other forms of defamation. Unlike the US, the truth of a statement cannot be used as a defense against libel in a UK court. As a result, the UK has had a problem of libel tourism, as people come to the UK to sue people for defamation of character, even when they were telling the truth. In one high-profile case, Simon Singh was sued by the British Chiropractic Association because he made some well-deserved criticism of their bogus practices. This case, probably more than any other, led the call for the reform of the UK's libel laws. This bill will make both truth and honest opinion as statutory defenses, as well as require claimants to show that the statement caused or is likely to cause substantial harm to the person's reputation. A much-needed change, but there's still a long way to go. British jurisprudence still does not recognize the right of the defendant to a jury trial in civil cases, only when the judge feels it's, quote, in the interests of justice. In America, this is a constitutionally protected right. The Seventh Amendment clearly says that the right of trial by jury shall be preserved for any suit where the controversy exceeds $20. But if anything, this draft bill weakens the right of trial by jury in the UK. Let us not forget that the very reason we have the ability to use truth as a defense in these cases is because brave jurors made sure of it. In the John Peter Zenger trial in 1735, his lawyer, Andrew Hamilton, argued to the jury that a man shouldn't be punished for defamation if what he said were true, something that the law didn't recognize at the time since the American colonies were still under British law. But this decision led to truth being a defense to libel and slander throughout the United States, an ability defendants have enjoyed ever since. Good luck to our friends across the pond in getting their house in order. Now it's time for this week's Biggest Bogon Emitter. This week's dubious award goes to the Corn Refiners Association for their bogus ads touting the non-benefits of high-fructose corn syrup. Let's listen to a clip from one of these stupid ads.
Wow. You don't care what the kids eat, huh?
Excuse me?
That has high-fructose corn syrup in it.
And?
You know what they say about it?
Like what?
I mean, it's...
that it's made from corn, doesn't have artificial ingredients, and like sugar, it's fine in moderation.
How bogus can you get? I'm swimming in so many bogons right now, I have to wear waders with pictures of James Randi all over them. Here's what I would say if I were confronted by an annoying shill like the one in this commercial. How about the fact that it's not actually like sugar? Their bogus website says, and I quote,
HFCS is the chemical and nutritional equivalent of table sugar.
Bogus! The glucose in table sugar triggers an insulin response, which suppresses the appetite. Fructose doesn't do that. So high fructose corn syrup results in people eating more. This contributes to obesity, including childhood obesity. It also greatly increases the risk of type 2 diabetes. Not only that, it's been clearly shown to cause metabolic syndrome, fatty liver disease, and even cardiovascular disease, which is the number one cause of death in this country. Oh, but wait, it's all natural, right? That's what she said.
Doesn't have artificial ingredients.
I need a bogon shield 3 feet thick for this one. High fructose corn syrup is an artificial ingredient. The natural substance is cornstarch. High fructose corn syrup is a processed food made by treating cornstarch with alpha amylase, then fermented with Aspergillus fungus to break down the polymers into glucose. Then the chemical xylose isomerase is used to convert much of the glucose into fructose. No high fructose corn syrup would even exist were it not for a science lab. Geez, all this bogosity and you get subsidies too? How many of our tax dollars paid for you to blatantly lie to us? And you know what? I don't even care if you represent companies that rake in $21 billion a year. What are you going to do, sue me for slander? Sorry, I live in America, where truth is an absolute defense. Now let's see who is this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
VenomFangX is someone who's left YouTube permanently and come back so many times, not even a bogometer could keep track. Take, for instance, his lame attempts to defend himself against Thunderfoot and laughably claiming victory. Thunderfoot pointed out how the phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd," is perverse because a shepherd takes care of sheep so that they can be brought to slaughter. In Sean's latest completely stupid video, he claims in an annotation that sheep at the time were used for wool and not eaten. What? Why don't we look at VenomFangX's favorite book? You know, the one where every word is the literal truth of God? If what Sean says is true, then Leviticus 7:23 is curious, since God commands them not to eat the fat of sheep. If they weren't eating sheep, then why would God have to tell them not to eat the fat from sheep? What about Leviticus 22:28, which says not to slaughter a sheep and its young on the same day? Here's Deuteronomy 14:4. These are the animals you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat. And just so there's no confusion, in the next verse where the list continues, God includes mountain sheep on the list of approved tasty animals. Here's 1 Samuel 14:34. Then Saul said, "Go out among the men and tell them, 'Each of you bring me your cattle and sheep, and slaughter them here, and eat them. Do not sin against the Lord by eating meat with blood still in it.' So everyone brought his ox that night and slaughtered it there." I could keep going. There are plenty of other verses like that. And we won't even get into all the verses about using sheep routinely as animal sacrifices. You know, it's easy to pun creationists, but you don't often get to do it with our own Bible. Once again, Venom Fang X lives up to his moniker PCS. That's poster boy for creationist stupidity. It's that kind of major fail that will get you named
Idiot Extraordinaire.
Well, that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Bogosity Podcast, and please visit the forums at bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and participate in discussions about these subjects and anything else you like. And if you'd like to participate in the Bogosity Podcast, you can send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. If you put it in an MP3 file, it just might get played in the podcast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, here's a quote from the movie Inherit the Wind. "I say you cannot administer a wicked law impartially. You can only punish, only destroy. And I warn you, a wicked law, like cholera, destroys everyone that it touches, its upholders as well as its defiers." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. Bogosity.